Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're taking a closer look at the adoption process. My guests are D.C. Superior Court Judge Anthony Epstein and Leah Gurwitz. She is the Court's Director of Communications and Public Affairs. If you have a question or a comment about adoption, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ernestine, I believe that's correct. Ernestine, give me what's on your mind.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I don't know if you hear me okay.
Yes, I do. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I got married late, and we became foster parents maybe 2 or 3 years after, and went through the whole process of getting a home study and all that, and we did respite, and then finally we did older children. And then about 2 years ago, we did a sibling group of four. And it was just so stressful and so problematic. And it was very difficult for us to foster, to actually parent, because we weren't supposed to. And when we finished with that, I seriously thought, you know, I don't know if that we're cut out to be foster parents.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely thought about adopting. Of course, we're older. And I thought, you know, maybe we would do older kids either in middle, high school, or like she did, an adult child that just needs a family. And I guess my question to you is, a lot of times when you go through family services, there are certain things that when you adopt a foster child, you get tuition, and you get, there are certain things that you continue to get for, I believe, Medicare or Medicaid. And is it like that with your adoption? And it did sound like you didn't know much about the state of Virginia, but just asking.
Yeah, well, first and most important, or at least it was the most important question my parents had to ask me when I announced this. Children who have been in foster care, I think it's 3 years. There's a federal law that if a child has been in foster care for at least 3 years, and I encourage you to look up the law yourself, but they do not have to report your income on their FAFSA form, their financial aid form. So first of all, it's as if they're independent. So that's an advantage. And second of all, there are something called ETV, which is Educational Training Voucher. It's a federal program that gives, I think it's $5,000 a year to each former foster child or foster child who's in college. So there are special financial aid things for people who are in college. Did you ask me another part of the question? I feel like I'm not answering the full question.
Insurance. In other words, there are certain things that you continue to get for the child. I don't know if there's a cutoff. I don't know if that was a part of the stipend or whatever. But I guess I'm trying to let the community know that when they adopt a child that has been in foster care, that and it's an adult child, I think a lot of times people worry about, okay, well, you know, I have to pay tuition, I have to, you know, that type of thing. And so I guess I want people to know, and I guess it's across states and jurisdictions, that the children do have benefits that continue on with them.
Okay, Judge, hold on for a minute, Ernestine. Judge, can you try to address what she's speaking
again,
about?
I don't know all the rules in Virginia, mm-hmm. but for some parents, there's a subsidy available if a kid's been in foster care, because everybody understands it's expensive to raise a kid, and you're absolutely right, Ernestine, you need to think about kind of the financial responsibility that you're taking on. And that's something you can talk to agencies in Virginia about and find out what the options are. You know, no parent, adoptive or biological, you know, ever makes money having kids.
That's right. Unless they can sing and dance. Okay, and that's about, or play football or something like
that. And want to support you.
Yeah.
But, you know, there may be some money available to help, you know, loving people like you who want to bring children in their lives, you know, meet your responsibilities to yourself and your husband and, you know, and take care of the child.
Well, Ernestine, thank you so much for your phone call. With that situation in mind, is it prudent for a parent to consider financial benefits if they're going to adopt? Because I would think that if you are adopting a child for the right reason, that just like the birth of a child, the child does not come with benefits or a book.
Well, he comes with benefits because children are a joy. Sometimes they're a little bit of a stress, but most of the time they're just a joy. But I think the DC policy says that if you're a foster parent and you're getting a stipend each month, that we don't want to discourage you from adopting by saying, well, that will go away if you adopt the child. It's obviously in the children's best interest to be adopted and have a know that they are loved and they have a family for life. So it's not that you should be looking for, way, this is a great way to make money.
Exactly.
It's the stipend to cover or help cover some of the expenses of having a child. And the benefit should be that you have a child.
Joining us on the line now is comedian Kim Whitley. She is also an adoptive parent. Kim, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you? How's everybody?
I'm doing just fine. I can't let me just first say that the thought of being adopted by Kim Whitley and that you would laugh your way through childhood has got to be probably the best benefit.
Oh, God. I don't know about that. I'm a different kind of mama.
Yeah, of that I have no doubt. But you also have a different kind of story when it comes to adoption. How did you come about this process? How did it happen?
Well, you know, always trying to give back and help, and always been mentoring women and young girls. And one of my mentees got pregnant, and I guess in the 9 months she had planned to do this, but not telling me.
Mm-hmm.
She has a baby. She leaves the baby at the hospital and leaves my name and number.
Wow.
The hospital calls me and said, we got your baby. I was like, excuse me. What baby? You know, I was like, I didn't really order a baby today. And the lady, you know, social workers didn't think it was really funny. I thought it was another comic, you know, playing a joke on me. And they're like, no, such and such had a baby, and she left your name. I literally was like, there's no way. I said, well, wait a minute now. I don't know if I can take a baby. Wait, what's going to happen to the baby if I don't take this baby? And she said, well, the baby's going to go in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is that? That don't sound friendly. And, you know, she said, well, you got an hour. You know, or 20 minutes, really, she said, to make a decision because we can't keep the baby. The baby has to be discharged. And at this time, Joshua was 4 days old, and my parents were there. And my mama was like, you're 100 years old. You ain't got no man. You might as well take this baby. So, you know, I was like, okay. Well, you know, scared to death. I literally don't make a lot of big decisions in my life. And I just said, you know what? I just closed my eyes like jumping off a cliff, and I've always wanted children, and I just said, yes, okay, bring me the baby. I didn't know if this was going to be for a lifetime, for a week. I didn't know what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's what happened pretty much that day.
How old is Joshua now?
Joshua is 5 years old.
How would you describe this five-year-old motherhood experience?
I wish I would have known the joys of motherhood earlier in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were like, it'll change your life. You'll do things that are different than what you did before. Because I've been living like a single person, and I, you know, you don't know any better. You don't have a crystal ball. You can't live anyone else's life. It looks hard. And I thought, you know, they're like, you're going to do different things. You're going to meet different people. Your life will change. And literally my life changed, all for the better. You know, got a TV show, got this and that. And I remember Vanessa Bell Calloway said, with babies and children comes blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe her. But my whole life changed. It's hard, but I cannot imagine my life without him.
Wow.
Yeah, I cannot. I have talked to women, especially because our biggest demographics now are becoming single mothers, single women, even in this world, because whatever reason, we're not finding men.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many women that want children, but don't have a man, don't have any way of getting a man, don't think they're ever going to get married, but they want children. And I think it's really unfair that we live in our mind, we think the society is going to, you know, look upon us or, you know, that you, you know, well, you know, you're by yourself and you don't have a child.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you've that you stepped off of your latest project to speak with us, and I'm so glad that you took the time to share with us. I do have one question. Is Joshua funny?
Oh, my God. He's so funny.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yes. Four-year-olds, five-year-olds, you know, that's the time when they really start showing their personality.
It's even worse than that. He is seriously cute.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be with me this Saturday.
I know. I can't
NBC.
Wait. I can't wait to meet the two of you. They're traveling all the way from Los Angeles to be with us on Saturday down at the Moultrie Courthouse in the District of Columbia.
And
I wouldn't have thought that anybody could upstage Kim Whitley, but it sounds like your
Joshua.
Son may be able to do that.
And by the way, yes. Judge, that talk to me briefly about that event. What time and specifically where again?
It starts at 10 o'clock. It lasts a couple hours. There are activities before and after. It's at the Moultrie Courthouse at 500 Indiana Avenue, right by the Judiciary Square metro station. And it's a celebration of people like Ms. Whitley, you know, and their children, you know, who've adopted. And it's just adoption ceremonies, just one family are wonderful, and you multiply that
29
times, and it just lifts the soul.
Well, Kim Whitley,
it's a free event, right?
It's absolutely free, and it's a way. Mm-hmm. And there'll be people there if you want to find out about adoption. Mm-hmm. There are people there you can talk to, you can get information. No commitments, no nothing, but it's a way kind of to get a feel and see the range of people, like, you know, adoptive parents come in all flavors, all shapes and sizes. Adoptive children, same thing.
And I would imagine you'd also have an opportunity to talk to some parents who have been through the process as well. And so I think that's really a great opportunity as well. Of course, National Adoption Day, November 19th, on this Saturday at the Moultrie Courthouse here in the District of Columbia. Again, Kim Whitley, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Again, it's been 4 years, but congratulations on that loving time that you spent with Joshua. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing you here in Washington, D.C.
I'm really excited. And I just wanted to say what I think it was the judge was talking about when people are really worried about financial.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot of people. It's very important because a lot of people are worried about the financial burden. And, you know, I remember when I first got Joshua, I was like, oh, wow, the government is my baby daddy.
Yeah.
That's what you don't realize. It really is. The government is your baby daddy. When I tell you, better than some baby daddies, they really help you with these children. It is amazing, the assistance, the programs. You're really not alone.
Well, that's good to hear, too, because everyone with children, whether you're a single parent or if you're a two-parent household or a family bringing in another child, yeah, everybody needs as much help as possible. I need to take a break. Again, Kim Whitley, okay, thank you for spending some time with us, and we look forward to seeing you on Saturday as well. When we come back, we're going to talk to Emily in D.C. and Janelle calling from Bowie. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about the adoption process, taking a closer look with D.C. Superior Court Judge Anthony Epstein and Leah Gurowitz, the court's Director of Communications and Public Affairs. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Janelle calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling, Janelle. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hi. How are you this evening?
Doing just fine.
I think we all agree that children benefit the most from both adults in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the legal guardian of a soon-to-be 13-year-old. I've been the only mother he remembers because he's been with me for 12 years. His father is living, and his father communicates with him, and they visit on a semi-regular basis. But as a legal guardian, that is something that can be undone. And as the only family he's known for this period of time and for stability purposes, I don't ever want him to feel like I didn't want to be his legal mother. But what I'm finding is that I cannot adopt him. Every person affiliated with the law has told me I cannot adopt him because I didn't marry his biological father. And what I'm being told is dad would have to negate his right. So I don't understand why it has to be one or the other. Why can't he have his biological dad and a legal mother?
You live in Bowie, and I don't mean to give the kind of the duck the question, but I don't know what the rules are. I mean, in D.C., there are people who are something called legally the permanent guardian who become adoptive parents. In the District of Columbia, when it's adoption, part of the deal is that the parents' rights are terminated. However, and this is a big however, if you can work it out, and I think Leah, for example, her son maintains contact.
Oh, absolutely.
With the biological parent. You can have an agreement with the biological father that the biological father, you know, can call at certain times or have visits. You would still, if that happens and you adopted, you'd still be the legal mother. The father wouldn't have any rights as a father. But if he wanted to stay in touch with your child and the child wants to stay in touch with him, you can make that happen. But part of what makes it, you know, well, there, you know, there are people can have more parents these days than they used to. But generally speaking, when one person adopts a child, the parental rights of the other parents end.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's more room to change a guardianship, at least in the District of Columbia, than an adoption. Once an adoption happens, it's done. Everybody's committed for life.
And let me ask, Janelle, I'm assuming that you've spoken to legal counsel that specifically practices in adoption law?
Not adoption law, but family law. And, you know, it's a little difficult to manage legal expenses.
Mm-hmm.
But I did meet an attorney who said, you know, she really would like to research it because there should be some kind of loophole that allows this child to have two parents. And also, I'm aware now that Maryland has adopted the law of de facto parenting, which means being a parent is more than just whether or not you gave birth,
mm-hmm.
which also is now giving grandparents more rights as well. It's more of a, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have been referred to in court as mom because I had acted like mom for 11, 12 years.
Wow.
But I don't think that dad should have to give up rights for the child to have two parents.
Well, I mean, in D.C., Leah mentioned, you know, step-parent adoptions. If,
yeah.
you know, if, you know, one parent passes away and then the surviving parent remarries, the new parent can adopt, but the mother still preserves her rights as the biological parent. So,
and mom is actually deceased.
Well, if mom is deceased and the father agrees and you need to have a conversation, I can't give you mm-hmm. advice about what works and doesn't work under Maryland law. Or I thought you were in Bowie.
We're in Bowie, you're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you can become his mother without his father stopping being his father. At least in D.C., that's a legal option.
Well, Janelle, thank you so much for sharing with us. And certainly, you know, good luck. And whatever the outcome of this, you know, let us hope that you continue to be, you know, that mother figure for this young man.
Well, that will never stop. Yeah. His family, and he couldn't be loved more.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Emily. Emily calling from D.C. Emily, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Emily, are you there? Give me a call back if you can, Emily. I want to talk a little bit about, in much more detail, actually, about the process, because you mentioned earlier in the conversation, Judge, about, you know, going through D.C.'s, you know, foster care system. But what specifically do you need to do? You don't just go pick a child and they just say, here. It's not like shopping for tomatoes or
thankfully.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's not like kind of going down to the shelter and saying, oh, that's a cute kitten.
Exactly.
Let's take her home.
So how does it work?
Well, I think it's different for different people. I think there are people who know that they want to adopt, they know a particular age, and they contact the agency, begin foster parent training, and the agency tries to find a child who meets what they're looking for.
What is foster parent training?
Foster parent training is 6 weeks, two nights a week, I think 3 hours a night. So what would that be? 36 hours of training. And they talk about basic principles of child development and parenting. They talk about particular challenges that children who have been in foster care have, how to begin the bonding process with the child, you know, what happens if a kid's gone through trauma and how you can help them get past that, get through that. And also, if you're going to be a foster parent, how to navigate the issue of the biological parents and, you know, if they still have rights or if they still the child still visits, how to navigate that in a way that is respectful of the most especially the child and what they need and want, but also of the biological parent. So it's a range of different topics. I found it informative, helpful, and I think everybody would agree nothing could possibly prepare you for parenthood. I don't know that anybody feels ready and expert at it, but it's very helpful. My process was different because I was volunteering with a group that mentors, DCFYI, and so I met my son and then decided I wanted to adopt him. But still, what I had to go through is the same thing, foster parent training, home studies.
So after the foster parent training, what happens next?
They assign you a social worker who's your licensing social worker. I think that's the terminology. And that person visits your house a couple times. And no, they don't check and see if you put all your clothes away yesterday or if you've made your bed this morning. It's not like that. But that it's basically a safe house, you know, and you keep it up. And that, you know, there are some very particular things, like you have to have locks on the doors that don't on the inside do not require a key, mm-hmm. for fire safety reasons. You have to have industrial strength fire extinguishers. I have a lot of fire extinguishers in my house now. So there's some particular
safety
requirements.
Issues.
There's actually a fire inspection, but they make sure that there's a room for the child that has a closet. It's not sort of an alcove somewhere, but that it's a real room. And they talk to you a little bit about your upbringing and how you perceive child rearing and parenting. You'd have to sign something saying you will never use corporal punishment.
That's interesting.
You will never hit the child. You have to say that. And that's another thing, actually, they talk about in foster parent training is effective ways to discipline. What's the best way to discipline? And it's, you know, that you do it quickly and that it's related to what they did that was problematic, wrong, troublesome, against the rules, whatever. So they talk to you a little bit about that, and then you get licensed. And then for those people who came in just to become foster parents, they start getting calls. We have a 5-year-old or we have a 5 and a 7-year-old who are biological siblings or whatever it is. And they decide if this is a good time and if these are kids that they're willing to take in. As I said, for me, I knew my son, and so I was specifically doing this to adopt a child who I already knew. And that's what I liked about my approach, is that I knew him and then decided to adopt.
But do you have to be a foster parent before you adopt?
If you're adopting out of foster care, you do, because D.C. law is that the child has to live with you for 6 months, mm-hmm. and you can't...
Even infants?
Yes.
Well, you could take the child in as a foster parent mm-hmm. from birth, and unfortunately that's what the timing for some, but you can't actually adopt until the child has lived with you for 6 months.
I see.
It makes sense, because then you've seen that it works and you're not overwhelmed, and you, if it's an older child, that you and the child get along. There are, I think, really good policy reasons.
It's for everybody's protection.
Yeah.
Real quick, Gloria calling from D.C. I've got about 30 seconds. What's your question, Gloria? Gloria?
Go ahead. I'm interested in knowing why the cause, first, the phone number, the contact number that you gave at the top of the show if you have further questions about adoption. And secondly, the cost for parents who are already parents who can't conceive more children and who are interested in adopting. Why is the cost seem so exponentially high?
There's no cost to adopt a foster child in D.C. The court will appoint a lawyer for you. The class is free. I'm trying to think what else would be. There's not a cost in D.C. to adopt a child out of foster care.
And Gloria, that phone number that you were asking for is 202-671-LOVE. That's 5683. And don't forget Adoption Day, that event. It's on Saturday, National Adoption Day, 10 to noon at the Moultrie Courthouse. So again, Gloria, thank you so much for your phone call. I also want to thank D.C. Superior Court Judge Anthony Epstein, Leah Gurewitz, and of course, Kim Whitley, for sharing with us. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, November 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook